go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 is where we're going to be at today. We're going to continue our series through the book of Galatians. I've entitled this sermon, if you'll put the slide up, because I changed it like I do almost every Sunday, Stop Changing the Truth. And if you obviously, so far in Galatians, we've talked a lot about truth. 4 weeks ago, we talked about truth about truth. 2 weeks ago, we talked about truth about God. And then last week, we talked about truth about the church. And then before that, I can't remember, I was sitting there writing it down. I know what it entitled is, but we talked about how people attack the truth and things like that. So anyway, so obviously, so far in Galatians, we've been looking at truth. And this Sunday, I'm going to look here at it's a theme here, and how to keep from changing the truth. Romans 1:25 says this, "Whom changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, whom is blessed forever." If that doesn't describe the world we live in today, I don't know what does. Sadly, it describes a lot of believers, or believers, if you know what I mean by that. I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read the most important part. "Whom changed the truth of God into a lie." This happens all the time in the world, but it also happens in the church with believers. We are steadily, year after year, changing the truth. I wrote down, I didn't write an exhaustive list, but we've changed the truth about sex. You know, we've changed the word in the average church member. Or not an average, but a lot of church members, their kids can be committing fornication and adultery, and it's okay. Man, I gave an example of a friend that told me that this person had two daughters, and the one was a homosexual, and they were all bent out of shape about it, but it was his comment. But the other one is sleeping around with every man in town, and they don't have a problem with that. We've changed the truth about that. And nowadays, it's no big deal. We've changed the truth about marriage. We've changed the truth. And I'm not even talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about just the fact that you can get married, and if you don't like, you can leave, and it's no big deal. And I understand that things don't work out sometimes. I understand that people make mistakes. I understand that there's restoration, and God still can use that person. But it seems like because it's become such a common thing, that now we don't want to define marriage between one man and one woman for a lifetime. Like, even if you failed at that, you still should not compromise and change that. Well, that's happened in the church. We've changed the truth about honesty. It's no longer about being honest all the time. It's honest when we need to be honest, or when it's convenient to be honest. I mean, the average probably Christian thinks nothing about lying or being deceitful or being misleading. We're supposed to be honest. You ever bought something for somebody and they gave you a blank bill of sale and you got to fill in how much you paid for it for taxes? And any of y'all ever wrote something that wasn't right to make pay less taxes? I was advised to do that one time. The guy my little Nissan out there. I bought that Nissan, the guy gave it to me. He said, "Well, you can just put in what you want where you don't have to pay as much taxes." How many of y'all have done that? That's a lie. You are lying. You said, "Well, the government don't deserve it." It doesn't matter. That's a lie. We've changed the truth about honesty. We've changed the truth about separation from the world. It blows my mind. And it really bothers me. When I see people, Christian families, who then their kids date people who are not saved. So that tells me one of three things. One, that person, because it says not be unequally yoked. So that tells me something, that person's not saved. That person's living in rebellion to God, or they're immature. I don't know what it is. But a lot of us see parents, they compromise and they allow it to happen because, well, it's a shame they can't have a boyfriend or girlfriend. No! If that person's not saved, the problem, I think it indicates more about the family, really. Because you tell people by their actions. That's my personal opinion. But anyway. But I see it all the time. But that's just being, I mean, I remember asking somebody, said, well, does so-and-so go to church? I don't think so. So that right there probably indicates they're probably not saved. And doesn't that bother you? I mean, it's clear. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked. Now, like I said, we might disagree on the degree of separation, but I think we all agree that God, I think we can build a biblical case that God doesn't want a saved person dating or marrying somebody who's unsaved. I think we can agree on that. But it just goes, my point is, we have changed the truth. We've changed the truth about salvation. Salvation now is just a prayer that you say for Jesus to be your Savior, but not your Master. And I'm going to say, like I said, 3 weeks now. Jesus cannot be your Savior if He's not your Master. You cannot separate the two. And Jesus is not your Master, and He's not your Savior. And you're not on your way to heaven. I want you to know that. Now, the list goes on and on. It's a battle that we're battling. This morning, I don't want to talk to you about the ways that the church has changed the truth. I don't want to give you a big long list and shake my finger at you today. That's not what I want to do. I want to look at how to keep from changing the truth in our life, the God's Word. Most of us in this room, I would think, would never take a pen and scratch out a Bible verse. But many times that's exactly what we're doing in our lives. And like when it comes to being unequally yoked, that's what I see. And even fornication now. Sex outside of marriage. It's just like, it's almost like we've scratched it out. We don't address it. We overlook it. It's just what's happened. We throw parties for them and things. Anyway, I won't get on that right now. Sometimes we lie to ourselves about changing the truth. Deep down, we know that's what we're doing. Including myself. Why? Because there's a struggle within each of us to do what we want. Even if you're saved today, there's still a desire to sin. There's a temptation to ignore God's command. The words of Solomon echo in my mind when discussing this topic. Proverbs 3, 7 and 8. This is where we're at in the church and in the world. He said, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I'm afraid and in the church we've become wise in our own eyes. I'm afraid that even at 35, it's real easy, even for me, even at my age, and I don't consider myself old yet. At 35, I've got my little checklist of things I do and I don't do, and real easy just to live that, and not actually let the Word of God conform me each and every day and get me back on track. It's easy to do that. It's easy to become wise in your own eyes. We need to guard against that. We need to guard against changing the truth. The question then that I want to answer is how do we keep from changing the truth? To do that, we're going to look at Galatians chapter 2, 1 through 10. Let's read these together because sometimes I get a little carried away and I feel like sometimes that I got on my note but I don't really give you enough scripture. So let's read these verses. And it says, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated with them that that gospel which I preach, because by the way, the gospel, that's the truth, okay? Which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were a reputation. By the way, basically, they talk to the church leaders. Lest by any means I should run or have run in vain. But neither Titus who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. That's right there is going to be the key. We're going to have people trying to tell them that to be saved, you have to have faith in God, plus you have to follow the law, and in particular, be circumcised. I mean, we don't get that, but that was very big to the Jews. I mean, God will go all the way back to Abraham, okay? Verse 4, that because the false brethren unaware brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, which means you no longer have to be circumcised to be saved. You are now free from that. That's the freedom. Not freedom to sin, but freedom not to have to follow the ceremonial laws. Which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, make them follow the law to be saved. Verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with him. So they were trying to change the truth. Verse 6, but these, whom seem to be somewhat whatever they were, it makes no matter to me, God accept no person. For they, whom seem to be somewhat in conference, adding nothing to me. But contrariwise, they, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcised was commending to me, and the gospel of the circumcised was to Peter, for he was wrought effectually in Peter's, to the apostleship of the circumcised, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Basically, Paul and Peter both preached the same gospel, and amen. Verse 9, when James, Stephen, and John, the pillars here, whom seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, and we should go into the heathen, and they into the circumcised, only that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was for to do. And let's pray. Father, I ask you for the next few minutes. We want to ask you not just to hear some words that's being preached, but we want to ask you to get a hold of our hearts. We want to ask you if there's someone here, if there's one here that is saved, we want to ask you to help us to get real about this. We want to ask you to help us, Father, in the battle for the truth, even in our own personal life. We want to ask you to each person here, Lord, there's no doubt in my mind, and each person here needs something today. Well, there's something in their life, just like in my life, that you need to put your finger on. We want to ask you to open their hearts, ask you to convict them today. We want to ask you to be with us, and Lord, I ask you to help us not just to go out of here and be the same, but ask you, Lord, to humble ourselves and repent. Lord, I ask you to help us to become holy like you are, Lord, and to strive for that. Lord, help us to do that today. Lord, I ask you if there's someone here that's not saved, and Lord, you'll convict them, Lord. Open their eyes, Lord, help them quit running. Lord, I ask you, Father, to be with anyone here who, Lord, maybe saved being rebellious, Lord, just straight up rebellious, Lord. I ask you to convict them as well, Lord. Lord, I ask you to help us to have a revival today, Lord. Not to come together to check it off our list, but Lord, to open your word, Lord, I ask you to meet with us today. In Christ's name, amen. Since we're going to cover the background in depth as we go, I'm not going to give you a lot of details right now about the context. But ultimately, get what Paul's doing. He's still proving his apostleship and message are both true. And he refers back to this account here 14 years ago to verify, no, actually longer than that, excuse me, to verify that he is speaking the truth. So here's what happened in Judaizers then and now in the text. They're trying to change the truth of the gospel. They're trying to twist it to say that you have to follow the law to be saved. So here's the thing. How do we keep from changing the truth? Number one, this is what you need to do. You need to authenticate your beliefs with the truth. Okay? Authenticate your belief with the truth. You say, what are you talking about? Well, many times we believe, we think, I love this one, we feel, we conclude, we assume that some belief is right based off of that. It's a problem that many times it's not. See, the Judaizers, they had concluded that the truth was this. You can have faith, but you have to follow the law. Well, here's the problem. They were wrong. And guess what? When you decide to assume, when you decide to feel, when you decide to find your own truth, you're wrong as well. I want you to know that. So what we need to do is we need to test every idea, every practice, every habit, every thought against the Word of God. Because here's what happens. We come up with our own ideas about things based out of ignorance, peer pressure, lack of courage. And that's why some of y'all won't stand firm against sexual sin is because your family's practicing them. And you want to compromise. Because you don't have the courage to have a backbone and say, that's wrong. It's just true. Simple desires, the lack of fear of God. Here's why I love that tradition. A lot of times because of traditions in our life, the way we were raised, we think that's right. The problem, it could be dead wrong. And what we've got to do is we got to take what we think is right, and we got to make sure it is right. And that's exactly what Paul does. First of all, look at here's the problem. Here's the problem, and it's going to be the context. Here's the past problem. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem, with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. So he's no longer talking when he's talking about the Galatians. He's going back about 14 years. You don't have to turn here, but Acts chapter 15, verse 1 and 2 is what he's referring to most likely, okay? There is some debate, but I'm going to read these two verses. This is what it says. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So there's the problem, not there, Brother Mike. And they're saying you got to be circumcised to be saved. That is totally wrong. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small decision disagreeing with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem and to the apostles and elders about the question. So here's the problem. There were certain Jews who were thinking that a Gentile could not be saved until he became a Jew. The problem is that's not the truth. That's not the truth. That's what they believed. That's what they felt in their bone. That's what they were passionate about, just like people are today. They were as sincere as they could be. They may have been some pretty, some of them guys may have truly been sincere. But they were dead wrong. They were dead wrong. So that was the past problem. Here's the present problem. In Galatians chapter 2, many years later, they're still having that same problem. The Galatians are still battling Judaizers who are coming in trying to say that you have to be circumcised to be saved. In both of these situations, there's people who are trying to change the truth. The truth that faith alone saves you. And here's the thing. Today, personally for you, your problem may not be that you're changing the truth of the gospel, but another truth. Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, well, it's not that bad to lie. Or it's not that bad to do this. Or it's not that bad to do this or that. I don't know what it is, but it may not be salvation. We may all agree on that. Or maybe it is. Maybe you think that you have your own way. Me and God got it worked out. Well, I don't know what it is, but we all tend to want to change the truth. You ever ran your mouth before? Gossiped? And then walked away and said, well, you know, it wasn't that bad. Anyone else? So what you just do? You just change the truth. You just let your sinfulness say, you know what, it's not that bad, but it is that bad. Because I just read in James chapter 3 today about the power of the tongue, how it sets the world on fire. I don't know what it is today, but there may be something in your life that you're trying to change. Instead of saying, God, I'm wrong, you're right, and I'm going to change this in my life. What we try to do is we try to change the Word of God. We try to take, we take opinion in our mind and we mark it out. We can't minimize it. Oh, that's what we do as Christians. We minimize it. Well, it's not that big of a deal. Yes, it is. Our flesh, I want you to understand, our flesh is warring. It's battling, and sadly, it's winning more than it should. So what do we do? I'm glad you asked. Let's look at here at the protocol. Look at the protocol. Letter B is the protocol. We have to verify the truth. We have to, well, verify your beliefs with the truth. That's exactly what Paul's going to do. Now, I will say this. In Paul's time, he's going to do it differently than we would, because he don't have the Word of God like we do yet. So what did he do? He went. He took the Judaizers' beliefs. He said, okay, let's go to Jerusalem. And let's verify this. That's what he did. He went to the recognized source of truth. Which was the leaders at the church of Jerusalem. Verse 2, it says this. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel that I preached, privately to them which are of reputation. When basically, if you look at verse 9, we already read it, but we'll look at it again. Because sometimes I don't refer to the verses like I should sometimes. Verse 9, and when James and Cephas and John, the pillars, okay? So basically what he did was he went to the apostles. Now, if there was somebody qualified, it would have been them. Why? They walked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus, like the song, the hymn we sang. They walked and talked. And Jesus personally and verbally commissioned them about what the gospel was. So if there was anybody who could verify the truth, it was them. And basically, the question was this. I mean, they James and John and Peter, they had heard Jesus say, I am the way and the truth. They heard Jesus say, it's not the law that saves you, but it's faith in Jesus Christ. So what did Paul do? Paul went to them. And he went with this question, basically. How is salvation obtained? Does one have to be circumcised to be saved? Is salvation obtained by faith plus the Mosaic law? We see this verification was ordained by God. Look at verse 2. I want to point this out, though. And he said, I went up by revelation. Paul didn't go because he doubted what he was preaching. Paul went because there was a situation, and God said, I want you to go up. God already knew that Peter and Paul were preaching the same thing. He knew that. But he wanted everybody publicly to know that. Then you didn't have to be circumcised to be saved. And this is what happened. This verification brought unity and growth to the church. Look at verse 6. And then look at the last part there. It said this. Added nothing to me. One of that's a statement that they didn't add anything to the gospel. When he went to Peter and James and talked to them, they didn't say, well, you know, Paul, we like what you're doing, but you're missing one thing. You got to add a few things to this to be saved. That's not what they said. They said, Paul said, they didn't add anything to me. Now, he's writing that to the Galatians, because that's what's happening. Paul's saying to them, they didn't add anything. Instead, they gave, verse 9, it said, they gave him the right hand of fellowship. Paul didn't doubt that he was right. But when he was being challenged by the Jews' beliefs, he took their beliefs and did the only thing he could do from people to keep people from changing it. When he authenticated it by going to the apostles. He took their beliefs and authenticated it by the apostles, by truth. That's what me and you need to do. Paul said, okay, Judaizers, all right, let's go. And he took it, and he didn't have the Word of God like we do, but they had a source of truth, and then compared what they were saying and what they believe to be right, what I believe to be right. And he said, here it is. And the Apostle said, no, that's not right. What's right is salvation by faith. So here's the, what can we learn? First thing, we all are prone to have wrong beliefs. I want you to understand that. We are all prone to as we live life, to allow the world and others, even our flesh, to tell us what's right, what's wrong. The problem is that we're wrong a long time. We do this too many times. We do this, well, I think. I had an argument with one of my friends over something, and he said, you know, well, I just don't think God, don't matter what you think God would do. You got to go off what you know God would do, according to his word. And I love what my mentor said, Brother Jeff Jones. He said all the time, and when he was teaching us how to preach in homiletics, he said, it doesn't matter what you think, it matters what the Bible says. Yeah, I don't know if we really practice that in our own life. I need to tell that to myself sometimes. As a whole, we need a big dose of that in our lives. When you quit doing this, well, I think, or I feel, or, well, I just, you know, it's no big deal. No, we need a big dose of, it doesn't matter what you think, it matters what the Bible says, and that's it. I mean, all wrong beliefs tend to try to change the truth, but need to be the other way around. We need to authenticate our beliefs to the truth. We need to take what we're sitting in the bed and think, well, I think, well, I believe. We need to start like this. Okay, this is what I believe. Does it line up with what the Bible says? Yes, good to go. No, I need to rethink this. Hey, one thing in my life is just as simple as loving your enemies. I don't want to love my enemies. I don't feel like loving my enemies. I don't like loving my enemies. And I hit myself many times being cold and ill to people who I don't like. Just like me and my wife went hiking. We stood by a little waterfall, enough room for about two people. And sure enough, other people come and sit down right by us, you know. And I'm like, I want to say something, but, you know, I think it's the rudest thing. You can be on the Great Lake fishing, and somebody will come right beside you and fish. That's an enemy in my book. And what's my natural response? And I want to say something, right? Now, not what the Bible says. The Bible says we should love that person. We should talk to them. We should be friendly. Now, I failed. I didn't say anything. I'm grown, Miss Janet. I usually would have said something, but I didn't. I just got up, walked away before I got mad. But truthfully, I should do better than that. I should sit there and talk to them. Hey, maybe God was trying to get me to witness to them. But instead, I feel that I'm right to get mad. No, you wasn't. The Bible says love your enemy. You get my point? We gotta verify what we feel and what we believe to be right with the Word of God. And it's gonna hurt. And it's gonna step on your toes. And you're gonna fail every day. But that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's how we keep from changing the truth. Bottom line. And we have changed the truth. Because what did you grow up saying? Well, somebody hits you, hit them back. That's not biblical. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't defend yourself at all. I'm just saying, well, they pushed me. You know, well, that's what we've taught. We've changed the truth. A lot more than we think we have. Anyway, how to keep them changing the truth? Number one, authenticate your beliefs with the truth. But secondly, affirm the truth with your practices. Then you say, what do you mean? Well, let me first give you a disclaimer. Truth is truth no matter what you do. Okay, I want you to understand that. No matter what you do, it doesn't change this. Kind of like, you know, you say, kind of like God said it, I believe that settles it. It's more like this. God said it, that settles it. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. If God said it, it's true. That's it. You say, well, God said it and I believe it. Doesn't matter what you believe it or not. However, I want you to know that. But keep in mind, when I talk about this, when I see this, keep in mind, mentoring, parenting, being a disciple, discipleship, trying to disciple somebody. Remember this, when I say this, remember, you are an ambassador of truth. Therefore, your practices affect how people view the truth. I want you to understand that. If you claim to be a Christian, the way you act affects how people view the truth. And I don't like it either, but let me give you an example. People base what they do based off what you do. Based on people who are younger. I mean, I remember, of course, I mean, you may disagree, but you know that Beauty and the Beast movie that came out? That was a live, real-life Beauty and the Beast. And it supposed to have something about homosexuality in it. And all the Christians were all in uproar about it. I've said this before. All in uproar about it. What's funny is that most of them don't care anything about fornication. You know, and that's just what, that's hilarious to me. They don't watch a movie that's got fornication all in it. Even nudity, but no, homosexuality. We gotta stand up. Well, I think that's ridiculous. But anyway, I finally decided to watch it. Me and my wife hadn't been married long. We went to the movies. I don't know what they're talking about. They, you know, everybody got all in uproar about it. I still don't know what they're talking about. I watched the movie trying to figure out what they were, I don't know what they're talking about yet. Anyway, so that's that, okay? Well, I'm at a party, birthday party or something with my wife, you know, there's two 20-year-old girls that were from the church talking, and we had a big, you know, them little plank, you know, little thing you stack up and pull out the boards, and it falls down, you know? And it was a big, like, big one, like 2x4s. I'm playing that game, and I hear them talking, like, and they're going all like, well, my mama said I couldn't, you know, that's just a bad movie. And I finally said, I watched it and didn't see anything wrong with it. I didn't even see what they're talking about. And then what they said, well, if the preacher watch it, then I can watch it. I hate that. Because you don't need to base what you do off of me. Just like Paul said, I'm just a clay pot. Now, you need to base what you do off of this. But, here's the reality. People are going to view the truth in light of you. What you do, what you don't do, basically piss the kids, they're going to decide what to do based off what you do. Here's what I put, let's not lead them astray. Let's lead them to the light. Now, you know, there's still a person accountable for themselves, don't get me wrong. But I wonder how many times our actions cause other people to be unbiblical later on. Our example. See, we need to affirm the truth with your practices. Let's talk here. First, letter A is the situation. Here's the situation. Go to verse 1. Once again, it says, for 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem, I took Barnabas and took Titus with me. Okay, here it is. Paul goes to Jerusalem. He takes Barnabas and Titus with him. Titus is a Greek. Okay? Titus is a Gentile. Titus, it says there, let me find the verse here. Let me find where's that. I need it right down. Right here in verse 3. Neither was Titus, this is what I'm getting this at, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled, and neither was he compelled to be circumcised, okay? And I'll read it, let me read it in the ESV, because I like the way it said. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, okay? So this is very important, because the topic here is circumcision was needed for salvation, okay? Titus is a walking testimony of what Paul believed, okay? So here's verse 4. Now in Jerusalem, they're going to meet with the leaders. In verse 4 it says, the false teacher said, and because of false brethren unaware and brought in, who came privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. So here it is. Titus is there. He's a Gentile. They go to Jerusalem. Titus is practicing his freedom from the law. He doesn't have to be circumcised because you're free from that. He's saved on the way to heaven. But the false teachers discover this freedom and then try to require him to be circumcised. This is what it says. He says, verse 4, in the last part, that they might bring him and us unto bondage. Basically, they're saying, to try to require me, to require Titus to follow the law. Okay, so stay with me. Paul knows the truth. He knows that keeping the law, in particular, circumcision, does not save you. But let's be real. Let's be real about this. Old habits die hard, right? Traditions, we're gonna look next week at how Peter did kind of go back, and Paul had to get on to him. But traditions went deep. For most of Paul's life, the law was essential for salvation. And let me say it like this. Paul would have loved to make circumcision a requirement for salvation. I mean, that's what he was taught his whole life. And that was, for us, it doesn't make any sense. But for him, it would have been a very big deal. It would have been a big deal to him. He could have even been tempted to say, you know what? You're right. Or he could have been tempted, like, I don't feel like fighting with them. So if I'm pointing, here's the moment of truth. What is Paul going to do? This is where Paul gets to affirm the truth with his practice. People are looking at Paul. Paul's action are going to speak louder than any sermon he can preach on the matter. Paul's decision will say it all. What did he say? Well, let's look here at letter B, the reaction. We see the reaction. Verse 5. How does Paul respond? Look at verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection? No, not for an hour. Here's the answer. No! Paul said, no! The truth is this, that God died, or Jesus died on the cross, and by faith are you saved, and nothing else. We go around saying, the Word of God is the authority. The Word of God is what we're supposed to follow. But do we say that with our actions? Do we affirm that? Do we put it into practice? When you go out and someone you don't like does something, do you love them? Or you say, no! That verse don't really matter! And then do you affirm the truth when you practice, or do you undermine them? When people's watching you, like your little cousin or your aunt, or your little cousin, your little sister, your little brother, or even your son or daughter, and they look at you, you said, you know, last night in devotion, you said, we're supposed to love our enemies. That's what the Bible said, and that's what we're going to do. And then you go out, what do you do next day? Do you affirm it, or do you undermine it? Paul said no. Now here's what's important, because this is where I get to my whole point here. Why? Why did Paul say no? Let's continue reading in verse 5. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. I like, once again, that makes a lot of sense, but I like reading it, or the ESV says this. So that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. What would have happened if Paul hadn't practiced what he believed? What kind of message would he be sending? He would have messed a lot of people up, wouldn't he? He would have confused a lot of people. Paul knew that it was his responsibility to live in his life in a way that preserved the truth for others. We have a responsibility, y'all. You know, we've got the Bible, and they can go to the bookstore and buy the Bible. We have a responsibility to preserve the truth for other people. I don't care how mad it makes people. I stood up with my friend over a matter of divorce. And he's trying to change it. Because he said, I know what I would have done. It doesn't matter what you would have done. What matters, what does the Bible say? The Bible said, God wants you to stay together forever. And I understood what he was saying. I would have felt the same way if I had been in that certain situation of that friend of his. But at the end of the day, we've got to preserve the truth. We've got to stand firm. We can't change it, because we won't let personal situation change what the Bible said. We can't do that. Paul didn't do that. Paul said, no, we're not going to give into this. We're going to stand. The truth will always be the truth. But you can hinder the ones around you from discovering the truth by your actions. I'm going to say that again. Truth will always be truth. But you can't hinder the ones around you from discovering the truth by your actions. Paul could allow for Titus to be circumcised. Which, by the way, he did. Remember, he did let Timothy be circumcised. Okay? Which means he had a balance. And you weren't against it necessarily. He was fine because Timothy was half Jew, and it would have helped him reach the Jews. But not for salvation. Okay? Well, not for salvation. He could allow Titus to be circumcised, although it wasn't truth. he would have said one thing. Salvation is faith plus the law. And what would he have done? His action would have changed the truth for people around. Yet Paul didn't do that. Instead, he affirmed the truth by his practices. Parents, truth to your kids isn't what you say, but what you do. Want you to understand that? I mean, you are their God-given person. You're their light for truth. Truth to kids is not what you say, but what you do. Christians, the world defines what you believe to be true, not what you say, but what you do. Bottom line. You can affirm the truth or undermine the truth with your actions. Let me ask you this. Are your practices preserving the truth or destroying it for other people? When people see you and see how you live, do they get a glimpse of what the truth is? Can they read the Bible through you? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Now what Paul did. Paul said, I'm not going to change. So I'm going to affirm the truth with how I live. How to keep from changing the truth? Number one, authenticate your beliefs with the truth. But secondly, affirm the truth by your practice. And then thirdly, and be very short, acknowledge the never-ending attack on the truth. It is very redundant. We've said this almost every week, but it needs to be said again. Acknowledge the never-ending attack on the truth. Letter A, the gospel was attacked in the past. Okay, I'm not going to read the verse, but chapter 15 of Acts, that's the past. When Paul's writing Galatians, Acts 15 is in the past. Judaizers were coming in and were trying to attack the gospel. The whole text is Paul reaccounting a historical event where the truth was being attacked. Letter B. The gospel was attacked in the present. Present attacks. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. I'm going to make it real clear in case you forgot about this verse. I was astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you into grace of Christ and are turning into a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but that some who trouble you who want to distort the gospel of Christ. So in Paul's present day, the truth was still being under attack. What do we learn? There is a never ending attack on the truth. The gospel. The word of God. I like what John MacArthur said. The fact that Paul probably wrote Galatians some years after the Jerusalem Council showed that the decision and proclamation that the council had stopped the Judaizers, had not stopped the Judaizers, either from preaching a false doctrine or claiming approval by the apostles. In other words, it didn't stop then and it hadn't stopped today. The truth and under a never-ending attack. I mean, just like I said a minute ago, the truth of salvation is still under attack. The truth of marriage is still under attack. The truth of the home is still under attack. The truth of how to raise children is still under attack. And the list goes on and on and on. Jesus made it clear to us in the parable of the wheat and the tares that whenever good seed of God's truth is sown, Satan will also sow his seed of falsehood. The problem, the church has taken some of the tares and don't even realize it. We've got truth in our own life. We got beliefs that are not biblical. We've got tares in our lives. And what we say, they're not harmless, but they are. So what do we do? If it's under attack, what do we do? First of all, wake up. Wake up. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The problem is that the average Christian does not live their life that way. When it comes to the things of the world, we don't ask anything. We don't question anything. We just go about our merry way, just live like our neighbors live. The problem, our neighbors may not be saved. We live like everybody else, and we don't ask any questions. We don't ask any questions like, well, we're playing ball all year long affect my kids spiritually? Will giving church all the time affect me spiritually? Will watching anything and everything on TV affect me spiritually? We don't even think. We're not sober-minded. What we need to do, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. The world is not here to help you. It doesn't care about you spiritually. But then the second thing, grow up. Grow up. Ephesians 4, that's what's the problem with a lot of people. Ephesians 4:14, a lot of people are so ignorant. Ignorant. I don't think I got it all together either. And to me, some of the basic fundamentals of how many Christians are just ignorant. Ignorant. Ephesians 4:14 says this, so that you may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried by every wind of doctrine, by cunningness, human cunning and craftiness, in deceitful scheme. He said, be no longer children. Paul said in Ephesians, here's what you need to do. There's a never-ending attack on truth, and you need to grow up. And it doesn't matter how old you are, by the way. You need to grow up. Some of you need to get in the Word of God. Some of you need to read some biblical authors and take time. You know, like we read the magazine, like Hunting and Fishing magazine. We need to read some spiritual books. We need to get in the Word of God. We need to grow up. What we need to do? Because there is a never-ending attack on the truth. And if you're not waking up and you're not growing up, you're going to fall prey to that. And guess what? The problem, I think it's, let me see if I can find it right here real quick. And when I read the first verse in Proverbs, I'm going to read it right here. Here's the thing. I'm going to take this minute because it hit my head. Proverbs 3:7-8 says, if be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The reason so many people's lives are in a mess is because they're not following God. Not following God. While their homes are wrecked, while their managers are wrecked, and while their lives are wrecked, because they're not following God. So they didn't grow up, they didn't wake up, and then change the truth, and when you change the truth, and become wise in your own eyes, it's heading to destruction. While people are miserable, and while people are depressed, and while people are bitter, because they're not following the truth. They allowed themselves to change the truth, and they're not following the Word of God anymore. And even, you know, even if you're off just a little bit, further down the road, you're this far away. And that's what's happened. So how do we make sure that we don't change the truth personally in our life? Number one, authenticate your beliefs with the truth. And it doesn't matter what you think, it matters what the Word of God said. And make sure that what you think lines up with the Word of God. And if it don't, line you up with the Word. Number two, affirm the truth with your practices. What you say, what you do, speak a lot louder what you say to other people. And you might be the only Bible some people ever read, or if they don't get saved. Number three, acknowledge the never-ending attack on the truth. Satan's out there, and he plays for keeps. And you can look back and say, well, I'm so sorry. I should have done different. Do different now. And the piano player comes up. And they get ready to play for a song of invitation. And if you would stand to your feet with your head bowed and eyes closed, I don't know about you. But I personally, as I worked on this sermon, I was convicted. I was convicted by so many times. Like, and I know most of you are probably in the same boat. Because you do love the Lord. But you minimize things. Sometimes you don't have the courage to stand up. Sometimes because of certain relationship, you change the truth. You say, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But it is a big deal. It is a big deal. Because God said it, it's a big deal. We need to realize that. It's not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. It's the Word of God. It's the absolute truth. Are we going to be perfect? Of course not. But we need to change our thinking to where it's just optional. It's not optional. We want to follow it. And then we get to play, and the Holy Spirit dealt with you. Maybe you're here, and maybe you are living in sin. And maybe you are running, and maybe you need to surrender to God. Maybe you have created your own truth. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you think you and God got something worked out, but here's the thing, you don't, because according to the Word of God, there is no working out with God and you, and only by repentance and faith in Him, saying, I want you to be my Savior, but at the same time, you have to accept Him as your master. If you're not ready to make Him your master, then you really can't make Him your Savior. Maybe you're here, maybe it's just something small in your life. Maybe you're like me and you've lived life, you went to church, and maybe you got your little list that you do, and maybe you've forgotten that even when you get older, you still need to make sure that you're on the right track. Hey, I've been there. I've been to Bible college and I've been in two churches now, working, and always real easy to forget that I still don't know it all, and that I still ain't got it all, because the Word of God is alive, and I'm not even close to what I need to be. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you've changed the truth.